Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because I have Drs. Susan and Julianne Lang with me. Susan works with visionaries and thought leaders and business owners who deeply want to contribute to society, make lasting changes, but become exhausted, overwhelmed, or even sick by challenges, stresses, and responsibilities that come with it. Often the bigger the impact that we want to make, the greater the challenges are that emerge in the areas of relationship, health, success, money, and or soul, and Susan helps people with all of those aspects. Dr. Julianne Lang is a California acupuncturist and doctor of oriental medicine in a licensed practice since 1982. He's a member of a pioneering generation of alternative medicine practitioners. Susan and Julianne, welcome.
Wow, it's good to be here, Vicki.
Yes, hello, Vicki.
I'm so thrilled to have you with us, and I would love if you could share, each of you, how you came about your passion and purpose in life, which is basically various different ways of healing people on every level.
Well, speak for myself. When I was a boy, I was brought up with Chinese medicine and acupuncture. My father was a physician who was kind of frustrated, or actually really frustrated, with the limitations of how doctors practiced back in the 50s and the 40s. He really felt that what they were doing was not so much about healing people, but just sort of palliating symptoms with drugs and pharmaceuticals. He also rebelled against the whole profession because he didn't like the way the pharmaceutical representatives would come and encourage him to prescribe medications at which he thought weren't even going to be very effective or useful for patients. So he was kind of primed to discover alternative practices, and what he discovered was acupuncture in Los Angeles in the 60s. So I was brought up with acupuncture, and you know, he was so thrilled by it that he would talk about it over the dinner table, and it was in the family culture. And it was a real natural segue for me to just move right into that profession and follow my father's footsteps and take advantage of all of the things that he had to teach me, and which is what I naturally did. And I qualified in the early 80s. And as I worked, moved from an academic setting into really hands-on with day-to-day patients, the ones that came, I was dealing with things that were far bigger than what I'd been sort of taught. There was AIDS. We were dealing with people with environmental illness. We were dealing with people that had sensitivity to electromagnetic frequencies. We were dealing with people that had seen other Chinese medical doctors and hadn't had results. So life was really way more complicated than I expected it to be once I, got into the profession. So, my skill set had to expand. I had to deal with things that were more complicated than what Chinese medicine had to that point sort of cataloged and listed. And along the way, I met Susan in England, and the two of us started practicing together. And between myself and Susan, we learned about all these other things, these other approaches. I became an expert in homeopathy. Susan, I'll let her speak for herself, but she developed a lot of expertise in more psychotherapeutic approach. And what we now do after all of these decades of practice is that when someone comes to us, I look at them with a far larger perspective than just the perspective of traditional Chinese medicine. And we've developed kind of an approach which is unique to ourselves. And I'm just really thrilled to be able to have had the ability to maintain an open mind and allow my patients and their needs over the years to kind of guide my evolution as a doctor. Susan, what would you say to that?
How I came to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, first, I was a very, very serious child. And I got very seriously ill when I was about 20. I hitchhiked to India from university in England and nearly died and ended up in ICU in Hong Kong, which is where my family is from. They couldn't fix me, in quotes. Ended up back in the Hospital of Tropical Diseases in London and went to 10 different doctors in 1 year. And I seriously thought that there was something deeply wrong with me, and I was very flawed because nothing was helping, and I was trying everything. And I ended up then, you know, studying Chinese medicine to help heal myself, and I did the whole gamut of all these different modalities and, you know, spiritual and body psychology and craniosacral and, of course, Chinese medicine and herbs. And yes, everything was helping, but I still wasn't well. And I kept blaming myself. And it wasn't until I shifted from looking for the quick fix on the outside, where, of course, I wanted something to fix me and to be magically well instantly. Don't we all? And when I shifted to from mindset to body set and started trusting my body and listening to the answers, and then made another really big shift, which was a lot of what I was carrying was because I was so deeply connected to my family, and I had lived in places, you know, like Japan and Hong Kong, where there'd been massive trauma during World War II. And I'd watched my grandfather, who I was very connected with, and his suffering. Underneath his humor and his laughter, there was suffering. And when I realized it wasn't mine, I could heal. And so that's how I kind of got very passionate about helping people to uncover what was really going inside in their bodies. And the next piece was when I learned my mother was sick and we had to find ways to help her navigate through her own journey in a way that was upbeat and joyful instead of dreary and drudge and suffering and trauma. And it helped me evolve because of my own journey, my mother's, and then our patients, to develop a very joyful, light practice that we would encourage, or we do encourage people to start with. And that then gives people the resilience to unlock the underlying trauma patterns.
That is so unbelievably powerful. And probably never have we needed an alternative approach or a more complete approach to the mind and the body and the spirit than we do in these times. So tell me a little bit about how the book came about, The Play Formula, this wonderful, wonderful new book that you've written together.
I'll start with that because thanks to my mum, we needed to find some funny movies or something to help her be joyful very fast. And because I was such a serious young woman, I didn't really have much of a clue. And Julian was fantastic because he was brought up in LA and he's much more, has been, you know, he's taught me a lot into fun and play than I was. And the only time I would ever laugh was around my grandfather as a little girl because he was just so cuddly and loving, and then I would lapse. And so this is how I realized that when patients would come who were very, very seriously ill, and I'd say, you know what, you've got to play a little bit more, do you play? And they'd look at me like blank, like, I don't have a clue how to play, Susan. Why would I need to play? You know, life is too serious. And I'd say, well, watch a funny movie, and they'd go, what's a funny movie? And I thought, well, I was there. I used to be there, and so I thought, well, we've got to compile a list or find ways. And we actually developed this whole list of 101 top inspirational comedies ever made. And we developed the term. We were very excited about inspirational comedies. And it took a long time, and people said that it was ridiculous, and why waste our time because everyone knows how to play. And yet, these people were coming into our clinic who didn't know how to play, no matter what our critics said. And so we persisted and persisted. And that book, The 101 Top Inspirational Comedies Ever Made, is now one of our special bonuses for the Play Formula. So we're very excited about that. Julian, how did you come to it?
Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, I've spoken about my dad. I'm going to just talk about him a little bit more. Is that before he became a doctor, he worked in the movie industry. And his preferred genre was comedy. And he really loved to tell stories. And he loved to laugh. He liked to tell funny stories. And in his practice as a doctor, you know, I observed him. He would often be entertaining his patients with funny, you know, sort of offbeat tales and stories from his life. Yeah, and his patients loved him. They really did love him. And he was a kind of an old-fashioned doctor with a wonderful bedside manner. So he imbued in me a kind of bias towards, you know, that it's important to enliven people's spirits, to, you know, inject a dose of good feeling so that, you know, even though the subject of a session with him might have been a little heavy, you know, with some serious matters being considered and worked together on. At the end of the session, the patient left it thinking, wow, that was fun. He's a nice guy. I like him. And I think it's really important, even though it sounds a little, you know, unsophisticated or something like that. You know, we shouldn't underestimate the power of the emotions associated with a sense of well-being. And, you know, anybody who's dealing with a crisis, a health crisis, financial crisis, personal crisis, work crisis, when we're in that crisis situation, we get tunnel vision. All we see is the crisis. And depending on the nature of the crisis and how big it is, we can even end up identifying with the crisis and become so enmeshed in it that we lose sense of a lot of other things in our lives and in the world. So the play formula is such a valuable tool that when people use it, you know, they are able to broaden their vision, broaden the horizon, and see more than the crisis. And, you know, kind of get a reality check on what their life is really like. And to recognize that this thing has taken over and that because it's so intense and there are potentially some really powerful outcomes associated with it that, you know, nobody wants to really deal with or would choose to, we have to. And if we enter the situation with a certain amount of lightheartedness, our mind is going to be more open to different possibilities, different choices, and our range of solutions gets broader. So what led me to, you know, getting behind this idea really of Susan's, I have to give her credit. This is her idea. Susan's the genius here in the family. I give her full credit. Is that to give people a tool where they can start to assess how they're living their life. You know, the play formula is more than just knowing how to choose something that'll make you laugh and feel good. It'll help you choose, you know, maybe you want to redecorate your apartment. Maybe you want to, freshen up the house plants. Maybe you want to reassess the relationship you're in. Maybe you want to reassess the relationship you're in with your house cat or your dog or the neighbor's cat. So it's got a broad range of application. And one other thing I'd say about it, well, I'll save that for later. Vicki, what else would you like to know?
Well, I just think that the work that you're doing is so amazing. And I would love to hear from both of you what you would like to see happen with your books and with the work to impact the world, almost like a legacy. What would that look like for both of you?
Well, you know, apart from being a tool that's sort of like a life preserver that we're throwing out into the world for, you know, it's going to go out as an e-book, it'll go out as a bound book, and, you know, I don't know who's going to find the book and who's going to pick it up and that it might actually change somebody's life. So, you know, the way I kind of see it is it's like we're throwing a life preserver out there onto the ocean, and it's going to float around, and some people are going to find it, and it's going to do them a lot of good. I really like that. But I think another aspect is that in the book, we encourage people on the subject of laughter and the subject of play that they should go out and not just do it on their own, because when people are in crisis, they isolate. They retreat. There's a certain level of shame. They don't want to burden others with their story. They don't feel really good about themselves, so they retreat. And on top of that, you know, we as a society, in the developed world, we've got so many screens that we're hypnotized by. We've got the home computer. We've got the iPad. We've got the cell phone. We've got screens all over the place. And those screens really capture our attention. And it's amazing technology, and it's a powerful tool. It's really good. But the downside of it that I see is that it's a way that it takes us away from community, takes us away from others. So what I would love to see happen in the world is that, you know, as a result of our little book, going out there like the life preserver on the ocean, that people come together and they engage in activities as a group, and they build community, and they find like-minded souls, and they say, wow, I'm in a tribe. I've got this group of friends, and I have so much fun with them, and, you know, it's such a pleasure to not only have the fun, but also discover that people want to support me, that people can support each other at times of crisis and not just kind of have to tough it out on their own and, you know, try to do it all for themselves. And so I think something I would really love to see is that people come together more and friendships form and groups form, and that we kind of rebuild community.
That's beautiful. And Susan, what does that look like for you?
Well, I think following on from Julian, there are lots of great studies about when people are in community, you know, they live longer, they have lots more healthy chemicals and hormones flowing through their body, just like we teach in the play formula. And I'd love people to know that when we stop, we pause, we take stock, and we stop acting on autopilot, miracles can happen. And I think sometimes we are so programmed from the outside and we think we're in charge, but we're really highly conditioned. That's why the play formula is subversive, because it's teaching people to wake up, teaches you to ask questions and go, is this what I really love? And if it's not, how can I change it? And that's when huge changes can happen. Huge, because we become in charge.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, the work that you're doing, both in your practice and in your books, and also reaching out through the media. I mean, you've been interviewed by ABC and ITV and in the UK and these wonderful media sources. We're so thrilled to have you here on our show today. And I'd love to hear what is coming next for you two.
I'll go first. I'm very excited because the play formula is like, in a way, an introduction. It is required reading for all our patients, because we won't work further or deeper with them until they know they can laugh. We know they can laugh, and they know that they can laugh and have fun and choose pleasure, more pleasure. And often people will say, well, I don't know what I want or who I am. So the next part takes people deeper, because if they can't laugh, then there is hope. You know, some people might say, well, why do the play formula? There's no point. And so we go, well, if you can't, then this is where we dig deeper into the more underlying trauma patterns. And the next two books in my trilogy are Laughing with the Enemy, which is the story of my grandfather who had serious PTSD after World War II, being in POW camp, and how he kept his fellow prisoners laughing and with music and funny jokes, and even me when I was a little girl at boarding school. And then the one after that that goes with this is breaking through family and generational trauma patterns into the magic of your own core light. And what we're teaching people is how to unlock, to shift, and this is what the play formula starts people doing, to shift from the struggle and the density of carrying the trauma of the family bloodline into claiming who you truly are, which is what we call the light and the magic of your star soul line. And the way through that is through your heart and through your joy and through your play, because we are biologically designed to be joyful. And what these books are teaching is to remember the signals and the cues from our body that we have disconnected from, and we've been taught by our culture and our religion and, you know, all kinds of conditioning on our planet to disconnect from. And we want to teach people how to heal that and reconnect so that we can come out of isolation and separation and war into community and connection and collaboration where there is plenty for everybody.
Oh, that's beautiful. Julian?
What I'm currently working on is I'm completing a manuscript of a book which is titled The Five Easy Steps to Getting Better Outcomes from Your Doctors, whether they're alternative or conventional. And the idea of this book is to, you probably get it by now that at this point in our careers, well, in traditional Chinese medicine, the old books, one of the oldest books in the world, it's called the Neijing. It's about medicine, and it's written in China before Christ. So it's about 2,000 years old, and it divides doctors according to different standards. And they say that the sort of basic doctor is the one that deals with symptoms, and the more sophisticated doctor is the one that treats cause behind the symptoms. But that the highest standard of practice for a doctor is the doctor that works on the spirit of their patients. And the idea is to, if you can, as a doctor, speak to someone's spirit and rally a deep level of living in them, then you really encourage health. You are able then, or they are able to tap into deep levels of health which are kind of latent, that are lying deep down, and so you can bring somebody's health up so that whatever it is that they do starts to be more effective. So, you know, you may have encountered people who are under the care of a doctor, and the doctor is somebody who's really competent, is a good doctor, but nothing they're doing seems to be breaking some kind of a ceiling for that patient, that person. And the difference is that, or the we believe, and we've seen in our practice, is that if you can rally their spirit, then that same treatment will start to work better. So that's the premise behind the book that I'm currently working on. And I'm looking forward to finishing it, and I ought to be done with it by the end of the year.
That is so beautiful. And what I love about that is I did consulting to doctors and practices and hospitals for a few decades. And what I saw even back when I was doing that consulting was a breach in communication between doctors and patients. And no one seemed to be trying to bridge that gap, you know?
And that's exactly what we've been doing. And now we're putting it into print and we're spreading it out so that it can go out into the world and people can get the message without actually having to meet us in person.
That is wonderful. And I think that probably that is one of the main focal points that will change the quality of care without a doubt throughout our country and beyond globally. It's so brilliant, and if it's empowering both sides to connect and truly communicate and have an appreciation for that interaction, I think it's not only brilliant, but long, long overdue. So I congratulate you both on your new projects. It's just really incredible what you're doing in the world.
Thank you.
And Vicky.
Yes.
Yes. So what you said, I think, is really important, because it doesn't matter how wonderful your doctor is or how brilliant the medication or the supplements or the techniques you're doing, if your cells aren't open because you're in fear mode or terror or, you know, not trusting, then the stuff doesn't work. And once you make that shift, with, for example, the skills of the play formula and open up and your cells open up and you can trust your doctor and you can allow the healing in, miracles can happen, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I'm thrilled to say that I've experienced that firsthand with a real crisis situation, and that pulled me through. And I have not always been the most optimistic about particularly the traditional medical community, and it changed everything for me, and it literally saved my life. So again, I just congratulations on contributing such an incredible amount to our world. Time has flown by with both of you. I was just wondering if you can leave everyone with a way to connect with you and connect to all this wisdom that you share so readily. Do you have websites that maybe people could go to?
Yes, yes, we sure do. My website is holistichealthstrategist.com. That's holistic with an H.
Wonderful.
And I think the easiest one for our general, we have the playformula.com, which is for our book.
Mm-hmm.
And also our regular clinic site is meridianholistichealth.com.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here and so generously sharing all this wonderful information and sharing of your time.
Oh, it's been a privilege. Thank you, Vicki.
A total pleasure, Vicki. Thank you.
And for those of you out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.